This is Lead 12:12, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Here's Dave and Chris.
We were given scriptures to humble us into realizing that God is right, and the rest of us are just guessing. Rich Mullins.
I love that. That is beautiful.
Me too, buddy. It's number three. Who would have thought we would have made it this far?
Number three.
Can I get a woo-woo out there?
Woo-woo. Yeah. How about an amen?
Give me an amen. Amen. We're having fun with the sound effects. You guys have no idea what's going to hit you today. It's going to be fun.
I love that we opened with the Rich Mullins quote. He had so many great quotes.
One of my favorite. One of my favorite. He's the one that I kind of grew up on, I guess. So his worship and his music, they still lead me to this very day. So
he was one in a million, that's for sure.
Amen and amen.
Here we go.
We have fun with these things.
Yes.
We got a lot to cover today, don't we, Chris?
We do. We do. So let's jump right in. Today we're discussing trait-based leadership. What makes a good leader? Dave, what makes a good leader?
Where do I start?
If you and I were going to take traits to build the perfect leader, what traits would you include?
Humility.
Perfect. Yes.
That would be my first one.
Lots of humility.
Humor.
Got to have humor. That's it.
I need some more H's. We'll have a sermon before we get done here.
Happiness. That's an H.
Happiness. We're gonna make this into a 3-point based on Philippians. So, yeah, those are three good ones right there. I think we got a message, man. So, but those are three that I think of. What else do we look at that you can think of?
Well, when leadership was first beginning to be studied academically back in the early 1900s, the research started with this question: what makes someone a good leader? And because of this question, the research was focused on the individual characteristics that universally differentiated the leaders from the non-leaders. So what they're doing is they said, this person's a good leader. What makes him a good leader? What characteristics or traits does this person have that makes them a good leader?
Amen.
The first one they came up with back in the 1900s was intelligence. This is someone who has verbal intelligence, perceptual intelligence, and reasoning abilities.
Yeah, that's one I think I was left out on a little bit. That's a good one. He's got almost got his PhD. I graduated college, and again, amen and amen. But
amen and amen.
Yes, we got more of that. I promise. I say it way too much, so just love me through it.
There we go.
Keep going.
Can you think of any biblical examples of someone with intelligence?
Well, we were talking about that, and there's a lot, you know, as we were kind of getting ready for today. Solomon was a big one we thought about.
Perfect.
Because we kind of thought about the way that he. See, it's hard because his was wisdom and a lot of it was gained, but I think he was smart enough to recognize the things that he had learned from his past to be able to apply them to his future.
Absolutely. See, well put.
I'm glad we're recording this. So blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while. Thank you very much. That was good. See, perfect timing. So I think he allowed himself to learn as he went. He was a smart guy. He was smart because he certainly was. He learned. And so that's two things right there that you can kind of knock it down. What do you think, Chris?
I agree with that completely. Amen to that.
All right.
I think intelligence, the first one that always comes to mind is Solomon. So that's
me too.
That's always the top of the list. Well, the second trait that these studies found that all the great leaders have is self-confidence. And this is certainty about one's competencies and skills, being certain about your abilities and your skills. Who in the Bible reminds you of that?
Job was someone I thought of. And let me tell you why. Because I know, but he never gave up on God. He always knew that even when he was going through the darkest of days, he still believed in God.
He absolutely did.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that parallel, you think?
It does. Okay. It absolutely does.
So that was one I kind of thought of. Again, who else would you think of?
Earlier it came to, we discussed David and his confidence when he was just as a young child, went out and defeated Goliath.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot that. That's important because he knew God. Once again, he knew God was taking him before Goliath, and he knew that he couldn't do it by himself, but with God, he could do it. And that's, I think, Amen. We don't teach that enough. We don't have faith enough to believe that. We've been going through the book of James at church some, and
I love that.
When you understand that faith is built on trusting that God can do anything and everything, you can accomplish anything and everything.
That's absolutely true. And I'm thinking about this, and imagine Goliath is taunting the army, and they're all afraid. Here's this huge guy, and they're all scared to death, and little tiny David comes out, and he's not afraid at all. It's just amazing to think of.
So, Chris, I got to throw this in there. In all your fighting, some of you guys know, if you listen to the first one, this guy's Chris the Beast Hall, ladies and gentlemen. Can I get some applauding? Nothing.
We don't have that
one. We need to work on that. Woohoo! Who was the guy that you were like, oh my goodness, the biggest dude you faced?
The toughest person I fought was Dennis Alexio, the Terminator.
Oh, the Terminator. Yep. Who wants to fight him today? All hands raised. He fought against a guy named the Terminator. The
Terminator, yeah.
This is a bad man that I'm sitting beside right here. I know I digress, but still.
The Beast versus the Terminator. That was great.
And how did it end up?
End up with a split decision on that one. It was a great fight.
I'm going to say the Beast won. That's my call. Well,
thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
I haven't got to see it yet, but pretty impressive. And I think we all have the Terminators in our life that we have to face.
Oh, that's good. That's a good way to look at that. Yes.
Yeah. So there's wow. those Goliaths that we're going to have to. And for each person, it's different. For some of you, maybe it is education. For some of you, maybe it's that bully. Maybe it's that situation, beautiful. That person. For some of you, it's things that you have to overcome. Addiction. You name it, we can deal with it when you have Jesus at the center point of who you are. When he's there,
I love that.
You can overcome any giant. You can overcome any Terminator. You can overcome even Chris the Beast Hall if you have Jesus. But I'm not going to try because he has Jesus too. So I'm going to say Jesus Amen will win that one. And it'll probably be Chris. But anyway, good thoughts. Keep going, Chris.
I love how you can take the abstract and the theories and the concepts and break them down into everyday usable terms like that. That really helps so many people. It helps me a lot, too.
We're having fun with it.
We are.
I'm so glad that people are listening and putting up with us, and we hope that we're blessing you.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump back on the list. The next one is determination. That's the desire to get the job done. That's initiative, persistence, and drive. Can we think of any biblical examples of that?
Yeah, there's so many different ones that knew their calling. Paul was a big one. It's funny, as we were going through these lists, Paul seemed to kind of hit them all a little bit, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Even I thought of Peter a few times, and
yes.
Peter I thought of was he never totally gave up, even when he messed up. And that's determination, because
it is, yes.
When he denied Christ, he could have given up and said, I blew it, I'm done. But instead, he knew that Jesus was not just his friend, but his Savior. And he never Amen. Quit on that. And that's key. You can't quit on what God's called you to do. And you can
Amen
be,
to that.
If we had that kind of determination, we can get through anything and everything. I love the fact that he walked on water. I love
yes.
the fact that he almost drowned. I love the fact that only by the grace of Jesus lifting him up out of the water was he able to get back up. But you know what? There's no one else that can say besides Jesus, they walked on water, but Peter.
That's absolutely right.
That's determination. To follow Jesus, whatever it takes, even if it means you get to feel the cold water on your feet. That's pretty incredible, I think.
It really is. That's a beautiful example. I don't think there's a better one.
Well, let's keep moving.
The next one is integrity. That's the quality of honesty and trustworthiness. Can you think of anyone in the Bible that was honest and trustworthy?
Well, and you can think of a lot of different people with that as far as hopefully. But,
true.
You know, there are also a lot of scoundrels in the Bible, yes. too, that yes. that later became that more of a sound person that would actually have integrity. But integrity is it's tricky. And I think one of the things that we don't teach enough in churches today is the importance that your word is your word.
Oh, I agree with that.
And so people like, a few we were thinking of, and they kind of all follow into some of the names we've already said. But again, I think Paul was a man of his word. He preached it and lived it, and I think he believed everything he said and followed through with it.
I agree.
And I think a lot of integrity is follow through. It's knowing that you have the intelligence to do the right thing, even when it feels wrong, even when it's hard.
Right. Oh, I agree.
Did you think of any other characters? Because I thought we thought...
The one that came to my mind for whatever reason with integrity was Boaz, and how he was such an upright and moral person. He was very just.
That's good. That's really good. We'll keep moving.
Let's keep moving. The last one from the trait-based leaderships, this is from the studies back in the 1900s, was sociability. And that's the inclination to seek out pleasant social relationships or the ability to get along with someone even though you kind of disagree with them.
That's good.
Now, what's a biblical example for that one, Dave?
Well, I think one of the ones we talked about was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Oh, my goodness. And absolutely.
The reason we thought of them was they got along in a fire, and apparently Jesus was right there in there with them. So,
yes, he was.
Which is pretty incredible. And they weren't ugly. They weren't mean. They just held their faith. And again, that's probably that stick-to-itiveness. That's that not giving up. That's that determination. They were smart enough to back the right guy.
Boy, they sure did.
And they knew God would save them. And it gave them, you know, all kinds of favor. I've discovered the more I follow God, the more favor I get.
Amen.
That's only by the grace of God.
That's beautiful.
And that's, you know, one of the things, it was funny because we've been talking about this a little bit, again, in the Bible study that I've been able to lead. And one of the things that a lot of grace has to be required in this life.
Absolutely.
And the more grace you have, the more Jesus can shine through.
Absolutely. And you know, I've got to share this. This is a funny story. It takes me back to my childhood. When I was a little kid and I would be in bed at night going to bed, my mom would tell me Bible stories. And one of the ones that she would tell me, one of the ones that was my favorite, was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But listening to that with the ears of a child, I heard Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat.
Oh, my. So that would have been cool to have a billy goat in the fire,
too. I thought
too,
was this, you know, this moral and just goat that was following these guys around, and they were all in the fire together, and I can still see that picture in my mind.
I can see a goat being stubborn. That's good. There's some imagery. That's good. That's good stuff.
So let me get back on track, and I want to sum this up. In the early 1900s, they studied leadership, and they found these five traits are what makes a good leader: intelligence, self-confidence, determination, integrity, and sociability. Now, fast forward to the present day. A smart man named Grice came up with a much different set of traits that corresponded to a high level of success as a leader. In fact, this five-factor model theory is so prevalent in the study of leadership that we have an abbreviation for it. We can't be spending all of our time in academia saying the five-factor model, so we call it FFM. So
okay.
When you hear someone say this is according to the FFM, you know that they're talking about the five-factor model.
Okay.
And the traits in the FFM are quite a bit different than the ones that they found in the early 1900s.
Let's walk through them.
And these are in the order of importance in the leader. The first one is extroversion, being sociable, assertive, and having a positive energy. This is the most important trait in leaders according to trait theory. Can you think of anyone in the Bible that's sociable, assertive, and positive energy?
Yeah, I mean, this whole podcast is based on Christ-centered leadership.
Absolutely.
And you can't get more. I mean, everyone was attracted to him because of the way he lived, the integrity. I mean, everything you just named and then some.
Well, that's true.
And I think, you know, if you're gonna dive into Christ-centered leadership, I think Christ is a good one to look at for any of these things.
He drew crowds wherever he went.
Yeah, especially in this one, I think. I just totally see how that fits. Does that make sense, Chris?
And it does, and it's beautiful. I think that's the best example. The next one on the list is conscientiousness, and that's being thorough, organized, controlled, dependable, and decisive. Can we think of anyone biblically that's conscientious?
Well, again, you go to Paul, but I'm trying to think of someone who's... you know, exactly that. And I don't know. We talked about, yeah. Who do you think? What are you thinking?
That's a tough one. When it comes to thorough, organized, and controlled, when in my mind, when I see the disciples, I don't see a lot of organization there.
You don't, me either. So that's good. That's really good. I'm looking like a disciple of Jesus. So, I guess, again, everything Jesus did was intentional. So it was organized, but was it? I don't know. I think sometimes you can be over organized. I think you have to be careful of that. But I do think it's a good trait. I married way over my head. My wife is very organized.
And you and I both.
And I'm kind of, go as you go kind of guy. And so we work well together, and I have to make sure I follow the calendar she set for me most of the time. And that's a good thing to have. And I think a leader does put forth those things and those expectations.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important.
Absolutely. The next one of these are the FFM traits again, is openness. This is a tendency to be informed, creative, insightful, and curious. Can you think of someone that was very open in the Bible, very insightful and curious?
Yeah. Who was the guy that climbed up the tree to see Jesus?
Zacchaeus.
Was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Let me just tell you, I think he's overlooked a lot of times. I think one of the things that we need to realize with him was he was willing to do whatever it took to look and find Jesus. I find that amazing. What do you think,
Chris? It's absolutely amazing.
Do you think that does that fit there?
It fits so well.
So
he was so curious, he climbed a tree to see Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I go back. Someone who was probably organized was Matthew. I knew I had one.
The tax collector, yes.
So anyway, fast forward. Zacchaeus, I think it's important to realize with Zacchaeus that not only did he climb up a tree, he invited Jesus to come to his house.
Yes.
That's someone who is really wanting to find the answer to this life. And to me, we all should have a little bit of that in us.
Oh, I agree. That's beautiful. Yeah, truly.
Amen.
All right, next on the list is low neuroticism. This is a tendency to not be depressed, not be anxious, not be insecure, vulnerable, and not be hostile.
Wow.
Do you have any good examples of that one?
I don't know. That just the definition alone, not be depressed, not be. So opposite of that would be intentional. I think all Bible characters to a degree are somewhat intentional.
Yes,
depends
I
on
agree.
What their intentions are. But I think intentionally not being depressed. So what's that look like? I mean, how does that work in a leader is kind of what I'm thinking out loud, Chris. So what I'm thinking is I know that today I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. And listen, John Maxwell said this, question for God every morning, what is the main event today? What do you want me to focus on today? It's a great question.
It's beautiful.
And I think if we do that, it kind of falls into what we're talking about now, that we can really say, God, what do you want from me? What can I do? How can I make an impact for you today?
And I think that is beautiful.
Ultimately, that's the goal.
I think when we discuss someone who's not depressed, not anxious, not insecure, what about someone who's in the jail, persecuted for worshiping Jesus, and they're just singing and worshiping God and having a great time. Of course, we mentioned Paul many times, but he fits this so well.
Yeah, Paul and Silas.
Silas, Timothy.
They could have escaped. They could have walked out, but they didn't.
That's right.
They ended up converting the whole family of the jailer. That's pretty impressive.
That's amazing.
Right?
Yes, that's amazing.
So how does your testimony work? I mean, are you in places you don't want to be, but you're still giving that kind of testimony? I mean,
oh, that's beautiful.
Think about it. Some of you are in jobs you don't like.
Yes.
Let's be honest about it. Let's be transparent with each other. And you're sitting there going, oh, man, I don't like this.
Yes.
But if you look at it the way Paul did, it comes back to what we've been talking about through the whole, this whole concept of Lee 12:12. You praise Jesus, even in the darkest of moments, and watch what he does, because he can make it into a testimony of someone actually coming to him and making a decision. So that's that good stuff,
that
right?
That is so true. Yes, that is so true.
Amen and amen.
Amen. I think we need an amen moment on that one.
I think we need a little church up in here. Give me that other
we
one.
We need a praise moment.
Come on now.
Here we go.
I love that.
That's wonderful.
All right, sorry. Moving on.
The last one of the traits that were discovered, or I guess studied recently as compared to the others, the five-factor model, is agreeableness. This is the tendency to be accepting, conforming, trusting, and nurturing. I do want to say this one's only weakly related to leadership, but they felt it important enough to include it. So who do you see as trusting and nurturing?
So we talked about that a little bit just before we got on here. And Mary's a big one for me because she, she's 13 basically, or younger, and you're pregnant with God's child.
My goodness. Could you imagine that? Yes.
Is that trusting a God that you know is God?
At 13.
I think that's, heck, at 13, I was worried about pimples much more. I mean, right?
Yes. Oh,
my
yes.
My aching back. Oh, my back. So it's important that we really understand. And she was nurturing. I mean,
yes.
She raised the Son of God. I've always thought of this, Chris. I mean, raising up Jesus. How do you discipline Jesus?
Oh, my gosh. Well, hopefully you wouldn't have to very often.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah. But even if you, sometimes you discipline him and you were wrong. Well, I mean, what's going to happen there?
Oh, my God.
I had all kinds of crazy thoughts. Pray for this guy's head here. But, yeah.
I think we need another church moment on that.
Come on now. Praise him. Amen and amen and amen. All right.
All right. So as you can see, the last five, extroversion, conscientiousness, openness, low neuroticism, and agreeableness, which have been shown to be very related to a high level of success as a leader, is a lot different than what we thought back in the early 1900s.
Absolutely. And I just don't know if we were able to hit the low neuroticism very well, but I get it. I just don't know. As a concept, it's kind of hard to grab, isn't it? Don't you think a little bit?
It absolutely is.
And so if you're sitting there going, I don't get, that's okay. There's stuff we're working through too. And I'll let Chris talk to you next time because he's got a good hang on
this.
But there's a lot to grab into this stuff. And so we don't want to overwhelm you. We just want to give you some things to work with and let us know how we can help you. Feel free to email us, text us, message us, whatever. So we always want to say that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lead1212.com. You can get in touch with us there.
There it is.
So the last thing we want to talk about in trait-based leadership, and let me say this, we're going to discuss this next time as well. This is easily enough information for two podcasts. We want to discuss the strengths of the trait-based leadership. The strengths are the ability to consistently demonstrate exceptional work. So if you are a trait-based leader, you consistently demonstrate exceptional work. These are the people that have all of these traits. You can count on them. The second is the strengths come from having certain talents and then further developing those talents by gaining additional knowledge, skills, and practice. So just because you have extroversion, conscientiousness, openness, low neuroticism, and agreeableness, you continue to work on those and get better. Does that make sense?
It does. Total makes sense.
And the last one is leadership capability is enhanced when we are able to discover our fully utilized strengths, underutilized strengths, and weaknesses. We know what we're good at, we know what we need to work on, and we know where we need to really improve.
And I think that's really important. And that comes with an integrity all by itself, that you're honest with yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to know where your issues are and be willing to be okay with those issues so you can make them better. I think that was a hard part for me to get as a young guy. I just thought I knew everything.
And
the reality was I didn't know a whole lot at all. And I think admitting that I have these situations that I know that aren't the best to bring God all praise, I've got to be honest with them. What do I need to get better at? What do I need to work on? And again, it's being your authentic self. It's being who God created you to be and being okay with it. A good leader so has true. That. And I think it's important that we get that across. You agree, Chris, with that?
That is so true. And you segued. Next week, we're going to talk about the emotional intelligence of a trait-based leader. And that's one of the things that a lot of the academics and a lot of the people that study leadership think is the number one thing to being a good leader. And you just gave a perfect segue to that.
Well, I didn't mean to. So there you go.
You do that so well. So
that's pretty much, is that what we're kind of ending on that thought today?
We're
Let me close with this. In James 2:13, it says, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. I want to, again, kind of go back to what we talked about. Grace, 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 marvelous grace. I think it's very important that you realize if you truly want to be a good leader, mercy is a pretty important thing. James hits it hard in James chapter 2. And he talks about not choosing favorites, not looking at the rich people over the poor people. There's so much that that could really...
Yes.
Help a leader today if they really put it into practice. James is a great book for that as well. More. And so anyway, mercy triumphs over judgment. We pray for that today for you.
Yes.
If we can pray for other things for you, please allow us that blessing. We're doing this because it's fun for us. We're thanking you for listening. Even if there's just a few of us listening and they're my kids, that's okay. We're okay with it because we're having, hello, my kids. Thanks for taking time out of your day, hopefully, to listen to this. And we appreciate you. Let us know how we can bless you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.